We're looking at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. You'll see that up on the screen there. The Bible says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Well, maybe you won't see them up on the screen. They're working on it, okay? And then... Well, it won't be there, but it's still in your Bible. So take your Bible. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So we're first told in Hebrews we're not to let things slip. Now, I know Colby had it all lined up there, so he's done a good job. And then Ephesians 4, 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, whenever you talk about being renewed, that's a constant process. So it's not talking about a one-time thing. It's something you work on all the time. Renewing, renewing, renewing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And again, that's the second verse that talks about renewing, renewing. And if we're going to have a good marriage and good relationship, it's something we have to work on all the time. It's nothing you work on. You don't go to one marriage retreat, one course, and then you're good for life. You know, you check the box, did that, done that, been there. No, it's something you work on all the time. We've been married 46 years. We're still working at it. You have to. You can't coast in marriage. You got to work at it all the time. And so tonight we're talking about the subject of growing apart. Why does that happen to so many couples? Well, we grew apart. Really? How'd that happen? The Bible tells us we have to renew ourselves all the time. And may I say, especially as it comes to the subject of marriage, we have to renew ourselves, renew ourselves, renew ourselves constantly, lest at any time we should let them slip. I'm going to have Miss Vicki come and talk a little bit about this subject, and I think she'll have some good things to say.
Okay, we grew apart. You know, how many times have you heard people say those statements? Well, we grew apart, or it just seems like we're roommates. We just don't love each other anymore. Or one spouse tells the other, I just don't love him anymore. Well, before we look at that, let's look at, it's too easy to say. How could it have been avoided? Well, first of all, it starts with a wrong idea. Because first of all, we're not plants. We can't grow apart. How many times have you, we're not supposed to be a plant, we're supposed to be the gardener. You know, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What a fitting place for a perfect marriage. And their job was to tend the garden. Now, I don't know about you, but when I plant plants, I don't plan for them not to come up. I'm waiting with expectation for these plants to come up. I want, you know, sometimes I forget what color the flowers are and I can't wait for them to bloom so I can see what color the irises are or the tulips are. And we don't make a path from our garden for the weeds so it's easier for the weeds to get there. We're trying to get the weeds. We don't want a, excuse me, we don't want a place for the weeds. And we shouldn't want a place for the weeds in our lives. You know, sometimes in marriage, we do that. I don't plant flowers in a tree and buy plastic flowers to poke down in the ground in case the real ones don't come up. It's not some of those just in case. I'm planning with my garden a perfect scenario, and our God meant for our lives to be like love that was planted in godly soil. Actively seeking God and praying together that's exactly what was going to happen. Satan loves to hear the words, "We grew apart." God loves to hear the words, "We grew in love and for God's glory." Would you say you're growing apart? Well, okay, this is quiz time. If you're a couple and in your relationship and you're off spiritually, let's look and check a few areas to see if you are growing apart and how you can fix that.
Thank you so much for that. You know, when it comes to a marriage, you have to garden it all the time. That's one reason why I've never cared much for a garden. I like the fruit, but I don't like all the weed pulling and all the plowing and all the getting the rocks out. In Tennessee, my father one time had a garden. It was about the size of one of these rows of pews. We pulled enough rocks out of that dirt to build a 2-foot wall of rocks all the way around it. If you've been in Middle Tennessee, it's rock with a little soil that holds the rocks together. It is terrible. And then the rocks, the earth keeps bringing up more rocks and more rocks and more rocks. If you're going to have a nice marriage, something that's God-honoring, something that's enjoyable, something that God intended, you're going to have to work on that all the time. You're going to have to dig up those rocks. You're going to have to pull up those weeds. You're going to have to fertilize the soil. You're going to have to take good care of those plants in order to have the marriage that God has for you. When we think about areas that we're off, you have to think about, first of all, are you balanced in your marriage or have you blended your lives together? And by balance, I mean, do you have balance in the important areas of life, or do you blend your life together? It's so important because nowadays it's so easy for a man to live his life and a wife to live her life. In many cases, a husband has a job, a wife has a job. And in each area, they can feel productive, they can feel wanted, they can feel important. And then they come back, and all of a sudden, they don't feel that way among themselves because they haven't worked at it. And so we can find so many things that bless our lives outside the home, but that's not healthy for us. Because God meant for us to find our importance in the relationship that He gave for us. He never bragged once on Adam being a good gardener. He never bragged once on Eve raising up good children. He wanted them to have a marriage and a life together. And by the way, they had a long life together. We don't hear about their life. We don't hear, but just the fact that they had a long life together for a lot of years, that speaks well of a marriage. Because if they didn't tend to their marriage, they wouldn't have had that. So you have to work at that all the time. You have to get that balance. You have to blend those things together, whether it's physical, work, home, church. You got to have all those in your life. You got to have work, unless you want to put up a 10 on the side of 205 again. You know, I don't know. You might have trouble finding room, but you need to work. You know, that God meant for men to work. He put him in the garden to work. And the Bible says even after the fall, he'd work by the sweat of his brow. So you got to have work. He established the home. There's two things that Jesus Christ established. In the Old Testament is the home, marriage, and in the New Testament is the church. One is a physical home, and the other is a spiritual home. And let me just be frank and say, unless you have both of those, you will never have the home that God intended for you to have. Amen. Just the physical home. Well, the unsaved world has that. And their record is not very good with that. And a lot of Christians try the same thing. They both trusted Christ as their Savior, but they never plug into church. They have a physical home, but not a spiritual home. Let me just warn everyone, you know, we get these summer times and we take so much time away from the spiritual home. I've heard Christian families say, well, we're going to spend more time together. May I remind all of us that it is only God that makes us worth living with. Amen. It's only God and His working in our lives that make us worth living with. And so our own human nature is not very warm and friendly and fuzzy for marriage. But it's when God's grace enters our life and love and peace and joy and kindness. So we need the spiritual family to enjoy the physical family that God has for us. Men are defined by their work. If I see a man, I don't say, do you have any children or grandchildren? What's their names? If you're talking to a woman, you'd say, you have children? Yeah. And you have any grandchildren? Yes. And they'll start naming them for you. And they'll tell you which grade they're in. And they'll tell you where they live. I don't say that to a man. He'll say, yeah, I think so. I think we had four of them. Let's see, was there John? No, that's the second one. The first one is. And they'll work at getting them all in place. A man is defined by his work. If you see a man, you say, where do you work? Where do you work? And he'll tell you about where he works. He'll tell you the name of the place, how long he's worked there, what position he has in there. He'll tell you what he does every day. And men enjoy talking about work. I love that. I love talking to men about work. I can talk to a plumber about plumbing, an electrician about electrical. I'm neither of those. But I love to learn about men and their work. Women are defined by their home and children. Now, even though many women today work full time, but they still come home and then they go to work in the home and children. They're doubly working hard. If men are not careful, they make home or they make work their priority. And may I say, it does not help you to have all the accolades of the world at work if you come home and you don't have a loving family and you don't have a wonderful relationship with your wife. You have not succeeded in life. You failed. You failed in life. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person in the world or the second richest. If you lose your family, if you lose your marriage, money doesn't mean anything. A 12,000 square foot house doesn't have any appeal when it doesn't have someone that loves you. It's better to be in a small house where love is than a big house without it. Men, may I remind you, we all have to work. God meant for us to, but let's never put work above our wives, above the relationship that God has given us, and above our home. Ms. Vicki, why don't you come and talk to about ladies?
Well, he said that men are defined by their work, but actually ladies are too, because we like our home and that environment, and you know, you always wonder, if my picture was in the dictionary, what would the definition of me be? Would it be church? Would it be work? Would it be home? What defines me? We can, God, spiritually, God has to have preeminence. We might say God is a priority in my life. Would your husband like it if you said, honey, you're a priority in my life. You know, you're one of the top five guys I like. Your children wouldn't like it either. You know, I out of 10 really great kids I know, honey, you're in one of the top 10. No, just like your husband wants to be preeminent in your life, God wants to be preeminent in our life as well. Sometimes we can spend our time accusing our husband of not giving us enough attention and time, and that he doesn't make us happy. Well, I learned a long time ago there's only one person that can help me be happy, and that's me. And that's my relationship with God. Someone can walk up to me and shake me and say, "You're going to be happy today." And I'm not, because I'm that stubborn. They can tell me, "You're going to be mad today." You know, no one can change your mind pretty much except for you. And if, you know, I've heard that so many times, "Oh, my husband just doesn't make me happy." Well, if a husband hears that long enough, he's going to quit asking. He's going to withdraw. Because, you know, they say if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And a man likes a happy spirit in his home. Men are kind of clueless about what to do if their wife is unhappy. Do you want flowers? Did you want candy? Did you? Nope. Nope. Are you okay? I'm fine. Just leave me alone. Is everything okay? Yes. And that means no. And that means you better ask again, but then you end up with, "And don't ask me again." And so we have a different vocabulary all our own. But a man loves a wife that is happy. Children like a mom that's happy. Co-workers like people that are happy. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we work on that for ourselves. I don't know about you, but I like to be happy. I don't like to be down or depressed or sad or sullen. I want to be happy. And, you know, we have to realize, too, that we have to, if we lose interest in our spouse, we might want to ask ourselves, do we do the things to keep him that we did to get him? Do we do the things to keep him that we did to get him? You remember when you wrote all those sweet little notes? Or you planned those little scavenger hunts? Or you made, you know, you put brownies in their car, you know, so when they came out from work. Or you may have filled their car full of balloons. Or you did special things. You know, I remember one time I had been out mowing the yard at my house. And I had my hair in rollers. And I had on grubby clothes. And it was so hot in Alabama that I had gone in and I was sitting downstairs in my brother's bedroom because it was cooler downstairs. And my brother came to the door and said, "Mike's here." I said, no, he can't see me like this. And he goes, "No, he's here. I mean, come on, Vicky, he's here. And there's no way for you to get out of this room and upstairs without him seeing me. Without him seeing you." And I'm like, "No, well, then you have to take him out in the front yard." He goes, "Why? What am I going to tell him?" I said, "I don't care what you tell him, but he's not going to see me with curlers in my hair and these grubby clothes on and these grass-stained tennis shoes. You know, get him out of here." Well, I'm sad to say he's seen me worse than that now. But I, you know, guys can go to an office, and ladies don't usually show up in grass-stained sneakers and sweats and their hair in curlers. Usually if they're at the office, they look nice. But what does he see when he opens the door from work? Maybe it could be a little scary. So we need to know that taking care of our home and our family is a huge job. But don't ignore yourself. Losing interest can also lead to not even appreciate little things. Do you still appreciate things? Do you still thank him for things like you used to? "Oh, you're so strong. Thank you for opening that jar of pickles." When you had it kind of loosened up before you even gave it to him. But, you know, it's those little things. And that if we're not careful, it can, if we aren't thankful, like we talked about one of the first weeks, we can also change that into being a nag.
I would say also that husbands need to take care of themselves as well. You know, don't get married and say, "Well, I want her," and then go to pot. You know, then not literally to pot, but you know, go fall apart. We need to take care of ourselves and present ourselves the best way we can, and try to be a blessing to each other. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Bible tells us if we will get into the Word of God, God will guarantee that our way will be prosperous and we will have good success. Many years ago, a businessman in our church was going through a slow time, and he came to me and said, "Pastor, my business is just going a little slow right now. Is there anything I can do that you can think of to help my business grow?" I said, "Sure." He said, "What?" I said, read more of the Bible." And he looked at me like a deer in the headlights, you know, like, what does one have to do with the other? What does that have to do with good success? So I quoted him what it says in Joshua. And then I said, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not prosper, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." If we meditate in God's word, it promises, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, that especially is for a marriage. If I'm going to be in tune with my wife, the first thing I need to do every morning is get in tune with God. If I am out of tune with God, there is no way that I'm going to be in tune with my wife. Now, if we had a lot of pianos, we have two here in the auditorium. If we had 10 pianos in this auditorium, and we tuned this piano to this piano, and then we tuned the third piano to this piano or this piano, and we tuned all 10 of them to the same piano, they could all be out of tune. Every one of them could be out of tune. And that's what we try to do. We try to tune ourselves to our wives or to our mates, our husbands. And we're thinking, if we'll do that, we'll be in tune. No, you can both be out of tune. But if I will take a tuning fork, and I will use that tuning fork and tune that piano, and take the same tuning fork and go to that piano and go to all 10 pianos, every one of those pianos will be automatically in tune with each other because they are in tune with the authority, which is the tuning fork. That tune, those notes are meant to match these tuning forks. And that tone, it has to match. Now, God is the tuning fork in our homes. And there's no way under heaven we're going to have good homes if we're not in tune with God. You see, couples that they don't love the Lord, they don't go to church, they're not serving God, but they seem so happy together. And that's the key word. They seem so happy together. You know that a lot of couples that just, you know, almost hate each other still like to look good in public? I preach on the home sometimes. I see couples just squeezing each other. I know they just had a fight. They're trying to look good. "Oh, honey, I love you. I love you." I know. They're making up right in the pew. See, when you've got a healthy relationship, you don't have to be hugging so much in public. Pete, you're hugging there. See, making up. You can be friendly. But everyone who has a relationship wants to look good. May I say, it doesn't matter how good you look in public. It's what you enjoy at home that counts. It's not what everybody in the world thinks. It's what does your wife think about you? What does your husband think about you? That's the one person you ought to live for other than God, is to live for your mate. And we need to make sure then. And sometimes we lose interest in God's word, and that's why things start drifting on us. Ladies, I don't know what you battle in life, but I do know what we men battle in life. And I know if we're not in the Word of God and walking with God, we're in trouble. And we're going to wind up in a ditch. And it's going to be destructive. As men, we have to be in tune with God, because we need His help desperately. And because of that, we spend our time with God, so we'll have the right spirit, we'll be kind, we'll be sweet, we'll be thoughtful. All of those things that Christ wants us to be. And we're going to get that from God's Word. The Word of God is going to do a work in our life. Jesus said, "Now are ye clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you." And God's Word does that in our lives. We need that, men. And wives, I'm just assuming you need that too. Now, I'm in the Word every day, but I know any time in the morning I go home and Miss Vicky's there, I know the Word of God is going to be playing. She has her iPad there, and Alexander Scorby is reading through the Bible very slow. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And she might be in Hosea, and then I'll come back later, and she's in Zephaniah, and then I come back 2 days later. I just happen to hear it, and she's in Matthew, and she listens through the Bible over and over and over and over, I think 10 times last year. You get the Word of God in you, and you can have a sweet spirit. It is not you purposely trying to have that. It's what God automatically does to a person who gets His Word in them. The Word of God. You ever hear the choir sing, "God's Word changes lives"? It does. It's not just a great song. It's a great theological truth. God's Word changes lives. We're going to talk about neglecting communication. Miss Vicki's going to come and talk about that a little.
Okay, neglecting communication. You know, a few years ago I had a lady call me, and she had heard me speak in another state, and she said, "Well, you know, my husband and I, we're just like two ships passing in the night. He works part-time, I'm retired. We just, you know, he just pats me on the head in the morning as he walks out the door. He comes back in at noon, he sits in his recliner, he watches TV, I look at my iPad. We don't talk. We don't have anything in common." She goes, "I just don't know how much more of this I can take." And I said, "Well," and I was emailing her, and I said, "Well, does he have any health problems? Was he in the military?" I was trying to get some idea of this man. And she goes, "Well, are you just going to throw me under the bus?" I said, "Well, no, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, but I don't have any magic, you know, fairy dust that I can just sprinkle through the internet and help you." So I called her on the phone, and I said, "You have to start talking. I don't care how many years you've been married, you need to talk." And she said, "Well, I don't know one thing that I could talk to him about." So I said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you 60 conversation starters. And I don't care how awkward it seems while he's in the recliner and you're on your iPad, I just want you to ask him these questions." And she said, "Okay, I'll give it a shot." And I said, "Also, are you willing to pray for your marriage?" And she hesitated, and I said, "You do pray for your marriage, right?" She said, "I'm sad to say I don't." And I said, "Would you be willing to go with me and we both pray 1 minute a day for your marriage?" She goes, "Well, I can do that." And I said, "Okay, what time would you like to pray?" And she lived in another state. She said, "At 3:30. I said, "Okay, well then at 12:30, I'll pray. 3:30, you pray. We'll be praying at the exact same time for 1 minute. Well, then I looked up the verse in John 3:30 that says, "He must increase, I must decrease, so he must increase. I said, "You know, you've got to get less of you and more of God in your marriage." So we both started praying 1 minute a day, and she started asking him a lot of crazy questions. She had called me about a week later and she goes, we have to go on a road trip and it's like a 6-hour trip and I would rather sit on a cactus than ride in the car with him for 6 hours. And I said, but don't forget, you have your questions. They went on that 6-hour road trip and they had so much fun. There were just crazy questions like, what was your first job? How much did you get paid? If you could go on any vacation in the world and money was no object, what would it be? It was just crazy questions. She said, we talked the entire 6 hours down there and the 6 hours back. That summer, and we kept texting each other back and forth, and later that summer she said, guess what? My husband actually asked me if I would have our vows renewed at church. Because he thought that it was like we had a new marriage and he wanted to act like we started all over again. I said, see what a little talking can do? So, you know, and when you do have time to talk, maybe you have kids and you got to get rid of them, don't say, well, when are you going to fix the kitchen sink? How many times have I told you? Have you noticed the to-do list on the refrigerator? It's folded up 3 times. I don't know what's wrong. And your mother is driving me nuts. Have you seen the way she treats me lately? Well, you think your mother's bad. What about your mother? My mother's bad. What about your mother? You know, that's not called quality talking. And so you need to be careful because, you know what, if that's the kind of talking you do, the times are going to be few and far between. So don't neglect communication with your spouse. And then, of course, don't go without talking to God as well.
One of the things the Lord taught us several years ago, it's been probably 18 years now. We've been married 46 years. 18 years ago, maybe even longer, 22 years, I can't remember. But we were asked to have lunch with the Housers. And many of you would know them. They're both in heaven now, Art and Arlene Hauser. And even at that time, they were close to 80. And so we had lunch, and we're sitting around the table about to have lunch. And the first thing he says before we have a word of prayer, well, let's go around the table and tell us what you got from God's word today. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad I remember where I was reading this morning. So I told a little bit. Ms. Vicki told where she was, and they each told what they got from God's word that day. And that's wonderful. And then he prayed for the meal, and we had lunch. And he said, now, Pastor, he said, now, you and Ms. Vicki, you pray together, right? And I said, well, she prays, and then I pray. I mean, I pray, and I know she prays, but no, we don't pray together. I mean, I pray and she's listening. No, we don't pray together. And he goes, no, Pastor, no, that won't do. That won't do. And I'm thinking, whoa. I mean, he got excited. If you've known him, he would get excited. And no, that won't do. He said, Pastor, you got to pray together. You got to pray together. He said, we've been married 51 years at that time, or 61 years at that time, 61 years. And he said, and every night we kneel beside the bed and hold hands, and Arlene prays, and I pray every night for 61 years. Pastor, you got to pray together. I said, okay. Okay. Stop preaching. Okay. I went that night, I said, honey, I am not kneeling beside this bed, but give me your hand. And so we held hands, and she prayed, and I prayed. And then the next night, she prayed, and I prayed. And that's been 18 to 22 years ago, I don't know how long, but every night she prays, and I pray. Now, Miss Vicki, when she prays, she's got a list of 50, 60 names, and she knows them all, and she's praying for people all across the country, all throughout our church. And by time it's my turn, it's, Lord, help us get good rest. I mean, you know, it's like, she didn't leave me much to pray about, but we've always done that. Now, I'd like to say that during those years, There's been times where I did not want to hold her hand and pray. Something happened that day and I was upset with her. And when you're upset, you don't want to hold hands and pray together. So she'll reach over and just tap me on the chest like that. And I'll just lay there like, I didn't feel that. So she does it harder. She said, give me your hand. I said, I don't know if I want to hold. I'm still upset, honey. She said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I know the Bible. I know what it says. Okay. You hate it when they use Bible against you. You know. I'll hold her hand. She'll pray. Then I'll pray. Lord, I'm so sorry. I've had a bad spirit, and I know I should be nicer and treat my wife, and I shouldn't let things upset me. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, and thank you for a good wife, and thank you. See, it's hard to stay out of tune with each other when you pray together. And when you're praying with God, you're getting both in tune with him while you get in tune with each other. I would say the one single thing that will change your marriage forever is both of you holding hands every night and praying together. It will change your marriage forever. It will bring in a quality in your marriage you've never had. You cannot listen to your mate pray but what you know their heart. And when you pray, they know your heart. And it's so wonderful to be able to hear that she's in tune and for her to hear you're in tune with God. And by the way, if you're both in tune with God, you don't have any worries about your marriage. You may have conflict because that's life, but you don't have anything to worry about. Because when you're both in tune with Jesus, he's going to carry you through. You're going to be just fine. It's going to be wonderful. Psalms chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now we know prayer is just communication with God. Praying together helps you to communicate. One of the things that Vicki and I have enjoyed the last several months, I guess it's been now, is walking together. Today we walk 2 miles together. So we always hold hands and we walk maybe around the college or around a park or somewhere like that. And it takes about 2 miles. We're not fast walkers, maybe 40, 45 minutes we'll do that. But we talk the whole time and we hold hands the whole time. Now, I've always been a hand holder. When I drive in the car, I always want to hold her hand. And sometimes she said, my hand's sweaty. I said, I don't care. I'm going to hold your hand. I just like to do that. I think it's something about knitting us together. It's just holding hands with each other. You need to work on that. I would say couples, hold hands often. Hug often. Kiss often. Don't go days and you haven't kissed your husband, haven't kissed your wife. You need to understand that's part of knitting your hearts to each other. It doesn't have to be romantic. It's just a hug. It's just a kiss. But you need that in your home to knit you together. We've been talking about the home and people growing apart. If you'll spend time with the Lord, you'll spend time with each other. If you'll learn to communicate, talk with each other, you'll learn you won't have problems growing apart. If you realize that you're not a plant, but you're a gardener, you'll pull out the weeds, you'll fertilize, you'll water, you'll take care of the greatest relationship the Lord ever gave anyone, and that's marriage. Do you still remember how it was when you were single and you thought, I want to marry that guy, or I want to marry that girl. I want to marry her. I want to spend my life with her. I want to wake up with her. I want to go to bed with her. I want to go to sleep and she's by my side. I want to eat breakfast and she's across the table. I want to go into the living room and there she is. I want to spend my life with that woman or that husband, that man. If you will do that, you'll remember those things. And then you'll just relive it every day. This is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. Here at Grandview, 46 years is just a good start. We've had as many as 5 of our people who have been married over 70 years, and we have one couple 76 years already, Jim and Josephine Moe. Now, I don't think I'll live long enough to have that happen. They're both around 98. But it's amazing. They're just as much in love. And if you'll do that, God will give you a wonderful relationship. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. What, Colby? Can we pray? Okay, let's pray. Oh, we have someone to get baptized afterwards. I thought he was washing dishes. I didn't know. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to watch a baptism, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for our homes, and I pray you'll bless all the marriages, Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, we know that our adversary, the devil, wants to split every Christian home. There's not a doubt about that. He wants to drive a wedge between parents and children, between husbands and wife, between teenagers and their moms and dads. But Lord, you want to be the glue that holds everything together. So help us to look to you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to trust you and know that our home is secure when you're running the show and you're in charge and you're guiding our life. And so, Father, bless the homes of our people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're going to watch David on is getting baptized.
This is David. David flies back to Korea this Saturday, and he's accepted Christ and wanted to get baptized before he flies home this Saturday. So we're so proud of him. David, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
That's wonderful. God bless you. You're dismissed.